When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at number 38, Bet Online. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and we got some things to discuss on this particular episode. There's a lot that went on. Reggie Jackson got traded, salary dumped. Jamal Murray gonna sign an extension, a big deal for Denver, and I think a very committal move for Denver for obvious reasons. Didn't really beat around the bush on that one. KCP opts out. Denver signs a couple guys to two-way contracts. There's just a lot to sort of sift through and figure out here. And I wanted to be able to give you my perspective, my takes on just about everything that Denver got up to today. Really quickly, this podcast, as you know, is brought to you by our good friends over at BetOnline, your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right on over to the top fights on MMA, UFC especially. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino, go get a game of blackjack or poker in, or get some slot games. Head on over to the website today, get in on the action, use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% off welcome bonus, get $250 on your up to your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. Okay. Lots of stuff to cover. Hope everybody's having a good day. The second round of the NBA draft was today. I kind of half-heartedly watched it from here. The Nuggets didn't do an event or anything like that. They traded their pick. I'm glad that they didn't do some sort of event. It was a good thing that they didn't. And I think it's important that I was able to be at my apartment covering all this stuff, because good Lord, was there a lot. There was a lot to do. Let's get into some of it now. First, we're going to go over Reggie Jackson getting traded, KCP opting out, and then I'll do a financial update as well. Then we're going to go over what the plan actually is. Like, what is Denver trying to accomplish here? What are they trying to do? And then third, we'll go over the Jamal Murray max extension and go over some of the two-way contracts. Hopefully, that will be good. All right. By the way, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button if you are excited to be here. Okay, let's go over it. Reggie Jackson gets traded to the Charlotte Hornets. There was initially, I think, some concerns, some questions about what the hell kind of deal was it? What is Denver doing? And they actually traded 3 second-round picks in order to get it done. Reggie's an expiring contract, $5.25 million, but he wasn't a value contract. He was a player that I don't think commanded a ton of value around the league, an average backup point guard, I would argue, average to subpar. And when you're that kind of player, most teams are going to just want a minimum. And so Denver felt the need to clear some cap space immediately in order to do something. Now, I'm not sure what that something is. I'm still trying to figure it out, because usually in situations like that, you're clearing cap space, you're going to make a signing, you're going to make an addition. The Dallas Mavericks are considering trading Tim Hardaway Jr. that was rumored that he would potentially go to the Detroit Pistons into their cap space. They'll have to send out assets as well. They were potentially going to do that so they could free up money to sign Derek Jones Jr. They wouldn't have had money to do so, and they want to free up the non-taxpayer mid-level. The same sort of thing isn't really available to Denver, and so that's one of the reasons why my second segment is going to be about what the hell is going on, what the plan is, and we'll get into what they're doing going forward, but it is pretty notable, I would say, that the player who played 22 minutes a game last year, sixth most amount of minutes, started 23 games, played in all 82, was traded for nothing. Actually, you had to send out draft picks in order to give him up. Denver, in the last 24 hours, traded two second-round picks in order to move up six spots to go get Daron Holmes in the draft yesterday. And I justified that. I think that's the right move. I thought that was good. And then, and then they trade Reggie Jackson to free up money, and they, like, it's just free up $5.2 million, and you're, I don't know, like, that just doesn't seem like the right value for this particular deal. I need to see the full picture in order to make that determination. I need to know what they're trying to do instead. But one of the things, as you know, that I was talking about in regards to replacing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was using the combination of Reggie Jackson's money, Zeke Nagy's money, and then potentially a first-round pick in order to go out and try to find the right veteran to add to your team. Now you don't have Reggie Jackson to do that. You don't have him to actually aggregate that salary. And he's a guy that you're willing to lose in that case because you would hopefully be trading for somebody that could replace him in part. And they might still do something like that, but they're not going to have Reggie Jackson as matching salary. Now it could be Zeke Nagy and Julian Strother. It could be Zeke Nagy and Peyton Watson. Could be Zeke Nagy and maybe one of Jalen Pickett or Hunter Tyson. Probably not Jalen Pickett, because then you'd be losing your second, third, and fourth string point guard, because they're probably not bringing back Colin Gillespie. So there's a lot to kind of figure out what Denver's trying to do, what the goal of this move is. I can't really justify it yet because I haven't seen what they're going to do. It feels like a setup move. Maybe there is a player that they are trying to add in free agency. Maybe there's a player that, hey, they know they're going to get this guy. Could it be DeLon Wright? Could it be Chris Paul? Could it be Russell Westbrook? Who knows? And maybe they just needed to get off of Reggie's money. They didn't think that they were going to do anything major, so they decided, let's do this. I don't know. I was justifying the moves yesterday. I will continue to hold out, I guess, hope and trying to understand what the plan is, trying to figure out what Denver's going to do to fill out their bench, especially if we believe, rightly or wrongly, that Christian Brown's going to step into the starting lineup. So I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to figure it out for sure. Get some questions here. Javon Carter's still a thing. Yeah, I referenced Javon Carter as an option. The problem, and I guess I should bring this up onto screen as well. Let me change the window here. This is Denver's salary cap sheet that they've got going on right now after Reggie Jackson's trade. KCP opted out. KCP is not on the team anymore. He is not under contract anymore, certainly. They've got his cap hold still. And if he signs with the Nuggets, then great. If he signs with somebody else, then they'll have that cap hold. But you look at this money, and you look at where Denver's kind of at with this. I've plugged in the Jamal Murray extension as well. Daron Holmes is there. That's 11 players It's 11 players, and the Nuggets have 170.4 million committed to those 11 guys. So if they bring back KCP at the reported number that he's looking for, whether it's like, let's say it's the $20 million range, if you look at the very bottom of the screen, Denver's got the super tax apron that they're battling against, which is $189.485 million. If they give KCP $20 million, they've only got $19 million in space. That's tough. That's like they'll still be a second apron team. And then what did they trade Reggie Jackson for? Did they trade him to be a salary dump? Like just to lose out on the tax bill? Because you didn't really get under the second apron in this case. And honestly, if they had just lost KCP, if they had kept Reggie Jackson's money on the books, then they would have been just fine. They wouldn't have crossed the second apron. They wouldn't have had to. Because then you just use them as matching salary for a different trade. But now Denver's foregone that. Now they've decided they're not doing that. And I'm still trying to figure out what the plan is. Still trying to figure it out. Because I like the Daron Holmes pick. I think that that's a good fit. But I don't know if the plan for Calvin, I guess I should probably save this for the second segment, but if the plan for Calvin is just to elevate everybody one spot in the pecking order, then that's not great. Because I don't think that Denver had enough, like they had enough talent, but I don't think that they had the most talent in the NBA. And if you're losing a starting caliber player, and not really replacing him with anything other than a draft pick or two, then that's not good enough either. So Denver can still bring back Justin Holiday. They can still bring back Vlatko Chanchar, DeAndre Jordan, guys like that. They can still bring back KCP if they wanted to. Whether they're actually going to or not, that remains to be seen. And I'm, after seeing them let go of Reggie Jackson, forcibly trade him away with three future second-round picks, I'm not sure I like the plan. I thought the plan was good before. Now I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit concerned, for sure. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to discuss... we're going to discuss what the plan is going forward, trying to figure out what this is going to look like, and whether Denver can do what they need to do to become a championship team or not, whether they have the talent to do it or not. We will be right back. But first, I got to tell you about Number 38, affiliate partner for Mile High Sports. They're the bar, the home spot for everything. If you want to go down to the Rhino area, it's a great place to be. Love my time over at Number 38. They take care of you. They make sure that you're getting the best possible care. All these wristbands that they've got standing room space, they've got an outdoor patio, they've got high top tables that are all spread out, giving you as much room as possible. You're not going to bump into a whole bunch of people unless it's super crowded and the venue is full, because it's a big, wide open space. So make sure to go check it out. Love my time over there. Make sure to go check it out and let them know that you came from Mile High Sports. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Okay, I'm actually going to put this back up on the screen. Let me just share some numbers here real quick. As I mentioned, the $19.1 million under the second apron. Denver's $8.3 million under the first apron. If you can see that in the green on the left side. And then they're roughly $1 million under the luxury tax line itself. Basically, what that means is that Denver can't sign free agents, and that first apron line would be their limit in trying to add somebody on the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $12.5 million, somewhere in that general vicinity. That would be great, because then you could actually have the flexibility to add somebody that could reasonably replace KCP. That could replace what they want to do. That's not going to happen. But the other one is the $19.1 million under the second apron. And like I was talking about, if you had the matching salary with Reggie Jackson and Zeke Nagy, you could go out and get somebody like a Bogdan Bogdanovic. It would be a little bit more complicated than that, but you could do it. And whether it's him, whether it's Kevin Huerter, whether it's Jordan Clarkson. I don't think Kelly Olynyk is much of a fit now, but what if it was Dorian Finney-Smith? Like, there's a lot of different names that I think Denver could target and be pretty interesting. Like, that would be a pretty interesting replacement. But now, without Reggie Jackson's matching salary, I just don't know if it makes sense. I don't know what the plan is. So, what is the plan? It would be justifiable to me if they traded Reggie Jackson and said, we are doing this to free up money, given that we're over the tax already. We're doing this to ensure that we can bring back KCP, can make sure that he's back on the team. And that would make sense. That would make sense. But it goes obviously very counter with what I heard right about 24 hours ago when Calvin Booth asked by yours truly, was like, I'm not sure that we need KCP. And if that's the case, then I think that if they had the opportunity to trade for somebody that could be helpful like a Bogdanovic, then that would be great. But they took that option away today. So I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out what makes sense, what Denver is trying to do, how they can really get through this and not be so bereft of talent by the end of it that Denver's counting on Jalen Pickett to run the second unit, that they're counting on Zeke Nagy to play the backup power forward position, things like that. Because if KCP comes back, then it's okay. It's understandable. Like, it makes sense. KCP doesn't come back, and then they also don't trade for somebody that could be helpful, then that is saving money for ownership with this Reggie Jackson trade, and that doesn't really sit right with me. Not at this stage of Nikola Jokic's career. Is a Zeke Nagy trade on the way? Is Denver going to aggregate some of those salaries together in order to add like somebody that can be helpful? I've brought up this name before, Ayo Dosunmu. Javon Carter, both of those names from the Chicago Bulls, would be helpful. I'm not sure whether Calvin Booth actually wants to do that. I'm not sure whether a guy like Ayo Dosunmu is even available. And if that's the case, then it's understandable for what Denver's actually offering. But the idea is that if KCP goes, Denver could trade for somebody. They could sign somebody with the taxpayer mid-level exception. Drew Teller asks, how much is the taxpayer MLE? It is $5.183 million. And you can throw around that contract. It's a couple million, maybe double what the minimum contract would be in the NBA. And it's a weapon, not like a massive weapon, but it's something that the Nuggets could throw out there to a bench guy to try to entice them to come back. And that would be smart. That would be a great idea. I've thrown out, and Drew Teller asks here, can they get Melton? Maybe. I don't know what Melton's market is going to be. If he is getting offers in the double digits, then probably not. But if he's getting offers in like the 6 to 8 million range, and he's like, and these offers are coming from Detroit or Orlando or somewhere like that, and he was like, you know what, I want to play for a team that I feel like has a real chance to compete, then Melton would be a great option. And that's the kind of name that I think Denver should be targeting in place of KCP. Because Melton doesn't need to start, but he certainly could. Yeah, he certainly could. I'm going to put this comment up on the screen. Nuggets can't get anyone. That's the bottom line. No one. Jokic should demand a trade. No. Jokic is not demanding a trade. The Nuggets are doing a lot. Like, they are trying to add to their team, and they are putting themselves into a position where all these young guys, over the course of these next couple of years, are going to be very good. Very good. I am not worried about Jokic demanding a trade, because the Nuggets have won a championship. Dirk Nowitzki never demanded a trade. Tim Duncan never demanded a trade. Now, might have gotten frustrated every now and then. And the idea that the Nuggets are going to suddenly be bad is really dumb. Because as I talked about in my last podcast, Christian Brown is just fine stepping into a fifth starter role for Denver. Because what is the thing that they lose if they lose KCP? What's the actual thing? Like, they will be a slightly worse offensive team, but they'll be just as good of a defensive team with him in the lineup, Christian Brown. And I am not worried about it. I'm really not. And that's going to be my stance. He is going to be, like, Christian Brown will develop into a great glue guy. Peyton Watson will take a leap forward. These guys will get a year better. That's the hope. That's why they did what they did this past year. That's the entire vision of it. And so I understand that perspective of it. But where I get the sort of bad vibes from is if Denver doesn't make serious moves to continue adding to the bench, if they just sit on their hands, and if Booth is just like, okay, I'm going to trade Reggie Jackson so that he can get out of the way of Jalen Pickett. That would be a problem. All right, you're getting a timeout. I still need to see the full picture, as does everybody. This is not going to be an easy thing to figure out. This is going to be something that Denver's trying to go through, and we're not going to know what's actually happening here until the moves are actually made and Denver fills out the roster. They've got 11 guys under contract right now. I expect them to finish with at least 14 players. So who are the three? Who are the three that they're going to add? Are they going to let KCP walk and then just sign somebody like DeAnthony Melton? And then a couple minimum guys. Okay, maybe that's fine. I wouldn't personally do that. I also think that there is a problem with drafting Zeke Nagy's replacement after you gave him that contract and then just keeping Zeke Nagy on the roster. I think that there's something to be said about clearing the pathway for Daron Holmes, if at all possible, to playing time. And so you don't want Zeke Nagy in there if that's the case. Or maybe you play them both and you just have Najee move over to the power forward, Daron Holmes plays center. Peyton Watson plays small forward. Not a lot of space there. I don't really think that makes sense. So I think that there is something to be said about clearing the deck and giving everybody an actual reset, putting Zeke into a place where he can succeed somewhere else. But in order to do that, like, they got to actually make the move. And so we're going to be talking a lot about making the move until they actually do it. And I know everybody's going to be like, the Nuggets have, like, especially the guy that I just put in time out there, the Nuggets can't get anybody. They don't do anything. What are they doing? Yeah, I mean, that's what the money is. Like, this is the problem with the second apron. This is the problem with the CBA. Obviously, they can't do anything. But it's not their fault. They signed a really damn good team. They traded for Aaron Gordon. They traded for KCP. They won a title. They've paid all those guys as much as they possibly could in keeping their guys. And when Jokic gets the Supermax, Murray gets a max now, Porter gets the max, Aaron Gordon got the maximum amount that he could on his contract, KCP got a reasonable extension, I wouldn't say, but he got a small raise, you're just not going to have a lot of money on the fringes. And so this is one of the reasons why I was okay with KCP going, but they've got to make the moves in order to justify it. So that's a tough place for any fan base to be. This is not going to be easy. Not going to be easy at all. I feel like I didn't spend enough time on Reggie. Obviously, he only played in Denver for a little more than a year, and Pete was kind of mercurial. Not necessarily the right fit for what the Nuggets needed. They needed somebody who was a little bit more stable. Reggie, not necessarily that guy. But he still helped Denver win. He helped them win in the regular season this last year. And I thought he did a solid job, especially at the beginning of the season, where Denver needed him to step up for Murray. He did so. He filled out his job, and he played all 82 games. There's something to be said for that. Now, I think that everybody involved deserves some criticism for the way that, like, he probably shouldn't have played all 82 games. He was exhausted by the end of it. He could only play under 10 minutes per game in the playoffs, and he couldn't really play next to Jamal Murray. Murray deserves some blame for that. Reggie deserves some blame for that. And the rest of the team deserves some blame for that, too, including Michael Malone. Also, Calvin Booth bringing him back on that deal, I was critical of it then. Critical of it now. Not necessarily the best thing for it. But, yeah. It's going to be tough. This is going to be tough. So, True Teller, this is interesting. This is actually very interesting to me. So, Boston, Minnesota are going to be in the second apron, and they are okay with that. One of the reasons they are is Boston got some really nice deals on some young guys themselves. Peyton Pritchard is on a very affordable contract. Sam Hauser's an unrestricted, or I think he's an unrestricted free agent now, but he'll probably try to come back. And Luke Kornet's on their team. They traded a couple of young guys. They basically did a very similar plan to what the Nuggets are doing. They just had the sixth man, which was Al Horford. And they were able to make those moves. Minnesota traded their 2031 first-round pick in order to go get a young guy in this draft, Rob Dillingham. They also drafted somebody at 27. I don't remember who it was. But they are grabbing young talent as well, trying to keep up the young reserves in the draft and in free agency and trying to fill out their roster. And that's an understandable strategy. It's what Calvin Booth was trying to do. I think that they got the right guy to do it. Calvin Booth got the right guy in Daron Holmes that he could possibly get. I think that he's going to be a great fit for Denver. But the thing about those teams, so Minnesota, their 2032 first-round draft pick will be frozen because they're going to be in the second apron. Well, they traded their 2031, so it's not a problem, at least not yet. Denver, they are probably going to trade their 2031. It's actually the only draft pick that they have left to trade at their disposal. But you got to save it for the right time. And maybe it makes sense to trade your 2032 pick instead. So Denver, I think, is going to be a little bit more patient unless they find the right deal in this offseason and decide, you know, we're willing to relinquish it. So I don't know. Jay Lawrence says Terrence Shannon, 27th pick. Terrence Shannon is a very Tim Connelly player, somebody who's pretty exciting, who gets downhill. He'll help them. He's a good player. Or maybe he won't. But I'm curious to see what they do. Curious to see how this gets handled. And, man, it's going to be fascinating to see. We don't have the full picture yet. And so I'm kind of doing an in-between podcast where there's just a lot of stuff that happened. And that is definitely, like, it's just a lot of things. And I know I needed to go live, but, like, we haven't seen the full picture yet. And I want to wait until we get the full picture of what the roster is going to look like before making too hard of a judgment on this particular move from Booth. If he just doesn't make it happen, then can be critical after that. Cedric asks, can we hope to see Holmes get some playing time, Ryan? Yes, I think that he will be able to get some playing time. I think that there's going to be an opportunity for him to play at either the four or the five. Most likely the five. Makes a lot of sense there. I talked about this last night, but I think that he will be able to play. And I think he's good enough to play right now. I still think that Denver should probably add a veteran backup center so that he's kind of like a handcuff option, just in case he's not doing the right things. You add somebody who can push him to continue to get better. But I think the plan is to play him a not insignificant amount. And that should be exciting for Nuggets fans because he can help right now, and he's very good. I think he'd be a good fit next to Jokic at times. Okay, let's take another break. When we come back, we are going to chat about the Jamal Murray extension and the two-way contract deals that the Nuggets just signed. A couple of names that you may or may not know. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Final segment, Pickaxe and Roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Aren't I more entertaining than the presidential debate, which I think is happening right now? I could have gone live at a different time. I didn't really feel like it. It's going to be fascinating to see what this roster looks like by the end of this thing. I'm very curious to see whether Zeke sticks around, gets traded, whether there's a plan at backup point guard other than Jalen Pickett, whether there's a free agent that they're signing that, like, it could be Chris Dunn. It's somebody that I talked about with Swipa earlier today. He and I are going to talk tomorrow as well, and that'll be a fun conversation, Weekends with Swiper, that you're going to want to hear. The free agent period starts June 30th at 4 p.m., I believe. I believe that that is when you're going to start hearing all of the cascading deals going through and free agent deals. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. People are going to be very nerve-wracked for the KCP news, I know. But I think that it's going to be probably when we learn a little bit more. It's middle of the day by Sunday. There'll be some rumors coming out before that. I'm sure that Philly will target KCP. I'm sure that Orlando will target KCP. Maybe there will be a mystery team that comes through. Maybe it'll come back. Who knows? But I think it's probably safe to say that he is probably going. But now let's talk about Jamal Murray, who, in a surprising news today, I wasn't really expecting this to come through. Sham Sharania reported that Jamal Murray is expected to sign a four-year, $209 million max contract extension from the Nuggets. They're going to offer it. He's going to accept it on July 1st. That is the first day that he's able to do that. Apparently that information got to Shams. Was hoping that I could have broken that news. That would be dope. Sadly, no. I think this is a good move for Denver. I talked about this earlier today about, like, hey, you want to commit to him with Nikola Jokic? Makes a lot of sense. Make sure to keep those guys together for the long term. I'm definitely a fan of that because I understand how valuable Jamal is. And it seems like it's kind of few and far between at this point on who thinks Jamal's actually valuable versus who thinks that he's dragging Jokic down. I don't think that that's true. I think he had a bad playoffs overall. He had some good moments, but he had the bad playoffs. And players are allowed to have bad moments. Like, Jokic is the only one who you could realistically say, okay, he's not really allowed to have that many bad moments. That's because he's going to go down as a top 10 player of all time. Murray's probably not cracking the top 100, top 200. Like, I don't know what the list would be. He could be a Hall of Famer. Probably will be a Hall of Famer if Denver wins another title. But the pressure is obviously on Jokic. It's not on Murray. But the money is the money. And Murray's going to earn. I could pull this back up, actually. Murray's going to earn a lot of money. You look at this this contract number. It's going to start at about $46.5 million, go to $50.2 million, go to $54.2 million, and then go to $58.6 million. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. Actually, let me pull up this comment from Joshua. Based on the chart you sent out earlier today, come July 1st, we'll be billing $168 million, which is under the first apron, so the first apron and second apron restrictions don't apply yet, correct? No, that is not true. Denver's holding on to the cap holds for guys like KCP, for guys like Justin Holiday, DeAndre Jordan, and those actually exist on the cap sheet. They're not on this particular cap sheet that I am including, but they do exist, and they prevent teams from, like, going under those first apron or second apron restrictions. They would have to rescind the cap holds for those players. Which is it's a significant number. But going back to this, Jamal Murray is going to make a lot of money. He'll clearly be the second highest paid player on the roster, $46 million. It's about equidistant between Jokic and Porter on both sides of that, actually. And he'll never make as much as Jokic because Jokic is on the Supermax, and that's probably where it should be. But got to keep in mind that the money keeps going up. Like, numbers keep increasing. The cap increases 10% every single year. So this contract for Murray would have looked like a four-year, $180 million, $185 million contract extension last year. That's what would have been advertised. Because the number says two, because it's a $209 million contract extension, Everybody's going to be like, holy crap, he's so overpaid. This is just what the going rate is going forward. Any player that gets a max is going to get this amount of money. Murray's just the first to the table in this particular thing. Donovan Mitchell's going to get the same deal. But even guys that like probably shouldn't get this amount of money have gotten this amount of money too. Damian Lillard is making way more money than this. Like, he's making 3 years, $160 million somewhat. Like, way more. And I would take Jamal Murray over Damian Lillard at this stage of their careers. I would take Jamal Murray over a fair amount of people at this stage in their careers. But Jamal Murray does have to start making All-Star games. Like, that's my opinion on it. And I think it's a fair one. That if the Nuggets are going to pay him like this, then he's going to have to continue to take on more and more responsibility, as we talked about, Swipe and I, in the video earlier today. I think that he's going to have to try to make an All-Star game. He's going to have to try to start the season aggressively as a scorer, as a playmaker, and try to be in the best shape that he possibly can. He's playing for Team Canada during the Olympics this year. So maybe that helps him kind of get off to a nice little start, and hopefully that continues to propel him. Because, I mean, he is, like, when he's at his best, he's so good. He is so good. And Denver doesn't win a title, or really get close, without Jamal Murray a couple years ago. He was a top, I think I remember doing this with Swipa, it's like a top 12 playoff player during that year. Jokic was clearly one, but Murray was like borderline top 10 for much of those playoffs. And that's a pretty significant thing for a guy like him. And all of those guys obviously make max contract, make max money, or at least they should be getting paid like that. Now, there's a certain burden that he's going to have. He's got to own the bench a little bit more. If he's going to play in those non-Jokic minutes, then he's got to be the guy. And he can't have his efficiency drop off a cliff like it did this year when Jokic didn't play. He's got to be smarter, can't just settle for turnaround twos, weird off-balance shots. Like, he's got to get better offense. And he can. He's capable of it. He's just got to do it. I think, like I said, he's got to start out the season healthy. He's got to start out the season on the ground running. And I think he can make an All-Star game if that's the case. If Denver is leading the West, or if they're close to it, top two, top three, there's no reason why Jokic and Murray shouldn't make All-Star games. Shouldn't make it together. So I'm hoping for that for Jamal. I think he's capable of it, but he's got to approach it the right way. I don't know if he approached it the right way this last year, and I think he learned from it. I think he failed for the first time in a while, and I think that stung. I really, really do. So, we'll see what happens. Like, will he earn this money? It will be defined by whether Denver wins another title or not, not necessarily what Jamal does individually. Some people will always hold it against him if he never makes an All-Star game, but if Denver wins another two titles during the length of this contract, is anybody really going to complain? Like, if he's a central part of that? No, of course not. So, I don't know. It'll be fascinating to see. Okay. Denver added two more guys as well to two-way contracts that came out earlier today from a friend, Harrison Wind, over at DNVR. PJ Hall of Clemson, a big man, and Trey Alexander, a guard from Creighton. Shout out to Vinny Benedetto, Creighton alum. Alexander, people probably don't know this about him. Like, I had to familiarize myself with his game as well. He led, along with Baylor Shireman, who got drafted in the first round, like last pick of the first round this year, led Creighton to a Sweet 16 appearance, which for a team like Creighton is a big deal. And then Clemson went to the Elite Eight this year, despite they weren't an athletic team. They weren't a dynamic team by any stretch of the word, but they were very smart. They played really well together. They were connected. And PJ Hall was the center for that team. He was a very important piece. Trey Alexander was the point guard for Creighton. So Denver got some guys that showed out in the NCAA tournament, played pretty well when the pressure was on, and that's an exciting aspect of it. I like Trey Alexander. John Hollinger ranked him 20th on his pre-draft big board, and like Hollinger tends to be a little bit more creative with his big boards than some of the mainstream guys, but Trey Alexander has some fans around the NBA. He should be a, maybe not dynamic guard, but a helpful guard at the NBA level. And it sounded like he had some offers to be drafted in the second round and said, no, I want to go to Denver. And they don't have a second round pick. So let me just go undrafted, be a two-way contract, and be happy with that situation. And so if Denver could get guys like that going forward, then great. Maybe he hits. Maybe he's really good. Maybe he's a guy that immediately pushes for playing time in a surprising way. PJ Hall, I'm not necessarily sure that he's going to do the same thing. I watched his tape. I see what he can do. He's like he's an unathletic, kind of below the rim guy. He can dunk, obviously. That's not a problem. But he's 6'8". He's got a 7'1" wingspan, which is good. But he's a little bit undersized and not super athletic and springy for the position. He can get some blocks. I don't really expect him to be super awesome at the NBA level. I think that Trey Alexander could be. There's at least a chance for it. So that'll be something to monitor. Denver gets two two-way contract guys. I expect the third two-way contract will be decided by the end of Summer League. Somebody that claims that roster spot, that claims that contract. If they show up, if they play well, then great. We'll do a little bit more conversation about the Summer League team, but I'm kind of excited about what they're going to bring. Looks like if they bring all of their picks from last year, Jalen Pickett, Julian Strother, Hunter Tyson, Daron Holmes, Trey Alexander, PJ Hall. Six guys that they could really could have some good value for. So I'm interested there. Jalen Williams, there's another Jalen Williams that entered the league as well. I think he's from Auburn, and I think Denver gave him an Exhibit 10 contract. Jaylin Williams. Don't confuse him with OKC's Jalen Williams, spelled exactly the same way. This Jalen Williams is a wing. I saw CT tweeting about him earlier. Maybe he's somebody that could be helpful for Denver's Summer League team as well. They need more wings. So maybe that would be a good functional option for them. Somebody kind of like an Adonis Arms from previous years. An athlete, somebody who's versatile, could be helpful. We'll see what happens. I don't know what Denver's ultimately going to do during this offseason, folks. I've given you my speculations. I've given you my predictions. I've tried to lay out different situations and scenarios that Denver could try. Ultimately, I don't know. I'm doing my best, trying to forecast what Denver could do. This Reggie Jackson move kind of took me by surprise. I was not surprised by the Daron Holmes move. I was not surprised that Jamal Murray undersuit a max extension. Not really surprised that Denver decided to consolidate their draft picks into one guy. The Reggie Jackson one took me by surprise. Should I have been surprised? I don't know. This is the Nuggets we're talking about. But who knows? Let's see what ultimately happens. Let's not make some crazy assertions before the dust kind of settles. I don't know what they're ultimately going to do. Maybe they add some really interesting pieces. Maybe they bring back KCP. Who knows? Wouldn't that be something? But I guess we'll all find out together. Everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Bet Online and number 38. Please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. That would be awesome. I do this and I work so hard. You should have seen the number of articles that I put out today. If you're interested, head over to milehighsports.com. Wrote about a whole bunch of shit. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please hit that like button on the way out. We'll talk to you guys very soon.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, Does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.